Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. You can follow me on Twitter tonight at J Church Radio. Any questions for Richard Dolan or any comments on the show? Everything is happening in real time to my left. Richard, before the break, I had mentioned that the current president of the International Chess Federation, his name is Kursa Alumzhanov. He was Russian head of state for 17 years of the Russian Republic of Kalmykia. 17 years. We're talking about a head of state here. And last week, the article came out on the Huffington Post, and there is a video interview with him. He's a very well-spoken gentleman. He is the current president of the International Chess Federation. And he comes out and he says, hey, he went and met with Putin and said, look, I was abducted. I was taken out of my apartment in Moscow. And he tells a pretty incredible story. But this is head of state, and it's the closest thing we've ever had to any type of disclosure. And the story seems to have been stopped in its tracks. What is it
Well,
going to take?
this is Kursan Ilyumzhanov, and who's one of my favorite people. I would love to meet him. A, he's I'm a chess freak. I don't know if people know this. I love chess, and I study chess, and I play it every day. And B, I study UFOs every day. So here's a guy who does exactly what I'm interested in. And in fact, this isn't the first time he's made the news about this. Kursan Ilyumzhanov is an incredibly he's a very credible man. And you're exactly right. He was president, head of state of the Southern Republic of Kalmykia, which is part of the Russian Federation. And he is still currently head of the World Chess Federation. He's been that for many, many years. He's a brilliant man. And what he has said is that in 1997, this made the news in 2010, it got a lot of play, and then it kind of died. And some of the major news outlets like BBC sort of treated it very lightly, like haha, very whimsical. But he's dead serious. And in fact, he talked about this as far back as 1999, and he's talked about it ever since. The event happened in 1997, September of that year, on the balcony of an apartment that he owned in Moscow at that time. This is 20 years ago almost. He said, I was reading my book, I was watching TV, and I had almost fallen asleep, and then I felt as if someone was calling me. I wouldn't have believed it, but there were three witnesses, he said, his driver, his minister, and his aide. So he wasn't alone. And he said that these individuals took him. They were human-looking. They put a yellow spacesuit on him. They gave him a tour of their ship. They showed him the command center. And he said he liked them. He was very comfortable with them. And he's spoken about this very, very openly. With a man with these types of credentials, it's difficult just to dismiss him. He's an incredibly brilliant and responsible man. And, contrast that to how, for example, in the U.S., when the U.S. politician Dennis Kucinich, for instance, was outed by his friend Shirley MacLaine in one of her books in 2008, just as Kucinich was making a run for the Democratic nomination for president. And he took such a beating, I mean, an absolute savage beating in the West, in the U.S. press over his sighting, which, by the way, he had two witnesses with him. He saw a triangle of craft and never tried to publicize it. And those witnesses came forward years later and said, yes, no, we saw it. It was absolutely there. But yeah, in the Russian media, this is going over a little differently. And now the fact that he said he spoke with Putin, I think is very interesting. There's no question that this knowledge of the UFO reality is understood at the highest levels by individuals like Vladimir Putin and other power players in the United States system as well.
With
And,
the interesting thing, I'm going to jump in there, Richard, because I don't want this thought to get away from me. The interesting thing that Kursan had said was they weren't concerned about my abduction story. They were concerned about me disclosing state secrets to ET. And that's what they questioned me about. And I found that interesting. They didn't try to discredit him. And this did happen when he was head of state when this happened. He was head of the republic. He was president. They were concerned about him disclosing state security secrets to E.T.
And it's a really interesting and important point. Very important point. There's always been a certain amount, at least since the end of the Cold War, there's been a little bit more of a willingness among some of the Russian leaders to talk about this and then say in the United States, where there's almost none. And the question is why, and does it mean anything? And, you know, back in the old days of the Cold War, there were analysts known as Sovietologists who would study, which politicians were in and which were out based on where they were standing, you know, looking at various parades. And it was all like reading tea leaves because there is no information coming out of the Soviet Union. And it's kind of like that today when you're looking at the UFO cover-up and reality. We're almost like Sovietologists going on hints and going on innuendo and just trying to do our best to figure this out, because still, even now, even out of Russia, they're not being completely open. There are these little hints that come out from time and again. I'm not of the opinion that Russia will disclose anytime in the near future. It's always a possibility. You know, basically, what we're seeing right now is an undeclared war that the United States is waging against Russia. This is at least how I see it. And it's always a possibility that Putin might drop some kind of bomb, metaphorically speaking, whether it's a UFO secret or maybe a 9/11 secret that he knows. Who knows? But I don't think that he's going to drop the UFO secret. I just don't think he's going to let that out, because my take on it is that when the UFO information is publicly acknowledged, that is, if the President of the United States or the President of Russia were to say, yes, this is real and we know this is real, that would mean something, and that would transform our civilization very profoundly. And one of the things that would do very quickly, I think, is move us into a realization that petroleum is really, there's something better than petroleum, because these craft cannot possibly be using petroleum to transport themselves, which means implicitly in the end of the UFO cover-up is the end of the petroleum era. And Russia stands to lose about as much as the United States in that, it seems to me, anyway.
Yeah, their natural resources, exactly, and money as well. Well, do you think, is it the rest of the world that is patiently waiting on the sidelines for the United States to say something about disclosure? And if that is the case, would it be, you know, one country after another, Mexico, United Kingdom, France, Spain, South Africa, China, Japan, Australia, one after another saying, we've known all along, we have craft, we have retrieved bodies, we've known about this, but we couldn't say anything. Is that, would it happen like that? Would it be a domino effect?
Yeah, it would, but it's the U.S. is leading it. And the reason that the U.S. is leading is, I mean, they're all under U.S. domination, militarily, in terms of the intelligence community. I mean, take NATO, or take Israel, or any of the U.S. allies. They're not going to be able... Their defense systems are intimately tied into the U.S. computing systems as well. Like, they don't really have true latitude to do things without the U.S. saying, yes, you can do it. Let's say the president of Brazil wanted to disclose the reality of UFOs. I mean, let's just say he wanted to make, or she wanted to make that decision. That would be a really dangerous thing to do, because that person would know, A, their cell phones being monitored by the NSA. They would know that all of their ministers' cell phones are being monitored by the NSA. They would know that all their emails are being monitored by the NSA. They have zero privacy, and they know this right now. So if you were the president of Brazil and you wanted to do this, and you wanted to do it without U.S. permission, you'd have to be really careful. And you would probably fail, because the NSA would probably find out before you were able to make any move. And then I don't know what would happen, but you wouldn't be able to do it in secret. So I think these other nations are very much under U.S. domination in ways that we don't normally appreciate when we talk about this problem. So, and there's bribery, and there's surveillance and blackmail and threats. And I think most of these nations, probably lack specific knowledge. Very few nations really have the military infrastructure that would allow them truly to get a handle on this. You're talking about the United States and a few of its key allies that would. Britain certainly would. France and Germany, yes. A number of other nations would too, but it's a handful. The vast majority of nations in this world really are kind of out of the loop anyway. So we have a very kind of hierarchical situation globally, and there are really two significant nations, or maybe two and a half. We'll say Russia, China, and then maybe Iran. Iran has a significant, somewhat of a significant military and capability, and they are certainly not under U.S. Control. U.S. is trying to get them under control. So you really got a few significant countries that are wild cards in this. And I think the biggest of the wild cards right now is Russia. For the long term, China. China's a tough one for me to figure out. I think we need more experts on the Chinese UFO research situation. China does have UFO accounts. They've had them for years. We know this. There's some very good research done on this. I am convinced that the stories we're getting out of China today are the mere tip of the iceberg, and probably not even their best UFO stories. We get some of these in the Western media, but what you find is that this is always the case. The best UFO reports are very seldom get widespread news coverage. So I think there's a lot happening in China. The question is, are they planning to do anything about it?
Well,
what's their attitude?
Disclosure happens tomorrow. Front page news, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, boom, BBC, Al Jazeera. Here we go. Disclosure is here. Which of the cases do you go, those were real? Which of the cases that come forward that it's just, we knew it all along? Which of the cases that come forward?
In my opinion, quite a few, actually. First of all, if disclosure were to happen tomorrow, it would be as an accident. Because I believe that there is a preferred method of disclosure that those people who have the secret would like, and it's not preferred by us, it's preferred by them. That's having disclosure when they've achieved complete virtual totalitarian control over society, then they'll disclose. Accidental disclosure, which I'm looking at a lot, I think is what really could happen as a result of some kind of unforeseen sort of event happening and forcing a secret out. And then what I talk about is the third version of disclosure, citizen-driven disclosure, public-driven disclosure, which would be people like us and activists pushing this issue out in a kind of methodical way and getting it out. But if it were to come out tomorrow, what accounts, what UFO cases would be legit? I certainly believe that Roswell would be a legitimate case. I always believe Roswell is a legitimate case of a non-human derived technology that was acquired. And I think there are a number of other crash retrievals that have also are the case along with it. I'm inclined these days to say that the Aztec New Mexico case of 1948 is legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
Some very good research done on that and a number of other cases. One of the interesting cases I spoke about right here on Coast with George Norrie a couple of years ago, and he said, what do you think, Richard, in George's wonderful voice, what do you think is the best UFO case that you can think of? And I was like, wow, off the top of my head, I thought the 1976 Iranian jet
case.
A couple of UFOs was a very, very strong case, and I suspect that if a disclosure were to happen tomorrow, we would get confirmation that that was indeed a true unknown and inexplicable event. There's a number of these. There's a lot of these. There was a case from 1978 off the coast of Chile, the west coast facing the Pacific Ocean, of two F-5 jets that encountered an enormous object that gave the radar return of 10 aircraft carriers. And it wasn't just their own airborne radar. It was ground-based radar, and it was their own eyes that saw this enormous object, and then it just instantly, in the snap of a finger, accelerated over the Pacific Ocean. And it's an incredible case, very well attested. So there's a number of these that just, you scratch your head. There's not, you can't really say that black budget technology I can't see how it is. Is it some kind of optical illusion? Again, I can't see that being the case.
You had mentioned an accidental disclosure. Would it come from a source like maybe WikiLeaks and mass amount of documents, and then in part of this, 20,000, a million pages of documents, here we have UFO confirmation. Do you think it would happen that way?
I do. I think we have to understand we're living in an era that is unlike any other era of history, in which people can take digital information and just toss it right out there to the world. Legal or illegal, it's irrelevant. Doesn't matter. This is the era we're living in now, where you have people like Bradley/Chelsea Manning, who is able to do this, and WikiLeaks, led by Julian Assange, and people like Edward Snowden, and William Binney is another one who's not as well known, but very important NSA whistleblower. We're in an era of leaks. Now, we're also in an era at the same time of increased centralized control over information. So it's kind of like a battle that's really taking place between whistleblowers and the controllers. But the capabilities for leaking information are tremendous, absolutely tremendous, and that's always a possibility.
We're going to be up against a break here in just a second. When it comes to Edward Snowden, and it seems like every day I read something, Snowden's disclosed this about UFOs. This is, you know, WikiLeaks, Snowden. Have you had a chance to go and look at those UFO documents purportedly leaked by Snowden on WikiLeaks?
No, I have not. I mean, most of the documents, my understanding that WikiLeaks has, they haven't been able to go through. It's just an enormous amount. And the Snowden revelations, the Snowden documents, are, controlled by the journalists, Glenn Greenwald and his group, who've, got access to it and are releasing it bit by bit. If there are genuine UFO documents that Edward Snowden has released, I should be reading them for sure.
Well, and it goes back to your statement at the beginning of the show. You need to be careful when you read whistleblower and UFO facts or UFO stories. And I see these Snowden UFO document headlines all the time. And I do, and
For years.
What's that?
For years that they've been trying to connect Edward Snowden to UFO leaked documents, but I'm just not seeing the documents.
This is Coast to Coast AM. Richard Dolan is our guest tonight. When we come back after the break, we're going to open up the phone lines. Richard, you want to take some phone calls?
Sure.
Let's absolutely do it. So let's get the phone lines going. This is Coast to Coast AM. I am your host, Jimmy Church. Richard Dolan truly is considered by many to be the preeminent historian on the UFO phenomenon. And tonight, he is with us. You have any questions for Richard? Call in right now. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. Email is jimmychurch@coasttocoastam.com. We'll be back right after this. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM. Standing in for George tonight is me, Jimmy Church. I'm your host tonight. We have Richard Dolan with us. Let's go straight to the phones, and why not? First-time caller, Christine, Seattle, Washington. Christine, welcome to Coast.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having such a fabulous show. It's just, you're a great host, and you've got a great guest. And I wanted to bring up something that happened, I think this was probably about 8 years ago. I was talking to a friend on the phone, and I was in my kitchen. I had come home late, being out with some friends, and it was probably about pretty close to 2 in the morning. I was in my kitchen drinking a glass of water, chatting on the phone, and all of a sudden, I am not kidding. I imagine the entire apartment, but I could not see anything in front of me. Everything went absolutely white. There was this light that was so bright that I couldn't even see my own nose. And this stayed that way for probably about 4 to 5 seconds, which doesn't sound like a long time, but it sure is a long time when you don't know what it is. The light went away, and within about 10 seconds, maybe less than that, there was this gigantic boom. And of course, I thought, well, the bomb's dropped. And oddly enough, my friend that was on the phone could hear me I thought that the communication would get cut, but I said, are you there? Did you just see that? And she did. And she lives probably about, I think, 4 miles away from me. She immediately went to the internet, looked it up, and there was some information that said, that described what had happened. Somebody had put it on immediately. And then the next, like, 4 hours later, there was nothing to be found about it anywhere. They didn't talk about it on the news. They didn't say anything on the radio. Nothing happened where anybody was talking about it. And I'm not sure what it was.
Interesting.
Christine, I wonder if I can...
Yeah, go ahead, Richard.
Yeah, Christine, thanks for calling. It's fascinating. My first question is, where were you when this happened? I'm not sure if I caught your location.
Oh, I'm in Seattle, Washington.
Seattle. And what was the original explanation that they were giving that you were, that you or your friend was reading? Do you recall?
Luckily enough, she printed it out. And so we made some copies and laminated a couple of copies just so it wouldn't deteriorate over time. But mm-hmm. You can't find that information anywhere. And they said that they thought, I mean, it was immediate. It was like when that happened, I looked at my phone right after, and within minutes that report was out and it said it was a meteor.
A meteor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, yeah. I mean, does it make sense to you that a meteor would cause an incredibly bright white inside your home for 5 seconds?
And the fact
does,
is
does
that...
Does that make any sense? It doesn't to me.
And I've talked to other people, like, did you see that? And no, I haven't met one person in 8 years who saw it. And I just don't understand how my friend saw it. I saw it. We heard the boom. And nobody saw anything.
And there'd be no follow-up about a meteor impact either,
no,
which would be,
no.
I mean, if one had hit, you would think, sure, why wouldn't this be in the news?
Well, and the article says that the meteor hit in near Portland. So I don't understand how that could even be, like this meteor hit near Portland. And
could you hear that from Seattle? I would not think.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm a little confused about that. That's my my first comment, and I feel so good because I've been calling for years to get on Coast to Coast, so I'm pretty excited. The other thing that I wanted to ask you specifically about is these light meters, these smart meters that are surveillance meters, and they are also they're supposed to, you know, they've gone under the auspices of like, oh, we're going to save money, and actually they've caused fires. They're hugely radiation emitting, and I have a question. I want to know what your take is on that.
Thank you for the call, Christine.
Well, what a great series of questions. The smart meters, I don't know if I have a lot to say about those. It's probably an area of research I need to do. Do you know anything about that, Jimmy?
You know what? I've stayed away from it. It makes me nervous. I don't have a smart TV. I don't have a smart refrigerator. I don't have a smart meter, and I barely have a smart phone.
Well, I'm not a fan of any of those either. I mean, I do have a smartphone, but the smart TVs, there's, you know, we're in an age of total surveillance, and it's becoming more and more difficult to escape that. For those people who are too young to remember pre-9/11 America, there actually was an American belief in this concept called privacy. And it's just simply seems to be going away farther and farther into the past.
And we've done it in a volunteer sense too, Richard. We don't have any issues with it, it seems. Let's go to west of the Rockies, May, Las Vegas, Nevada. May, welcome to Coast AM. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mr. Church.
Hello, May.
Hi. Gentlemen, I'm sure this is pretty well known. When Jimmy Carter was governor of Georgia, he stated not only then that he saw a UFO, but on numerous talk shows after he was president. And it's no big secret. So I don't understand what is, well, listening to you guys, I guess I understand what the big issue is. You don't want to give out secrets, but...
Well, if I may answer you, May, I'm very, very appreciative of your question, and it's absolutely true. that Jimmy Carter, while governor of Georgia in 1969, was out, I think, at a Lions Club meeting with a number of other people and saw what he described many times as a very bizarre phenomenon in the night sky. Some skeptics absolutely were adamant that he'd seen the planet Jupiter. Carter would never believe that. He's never, ever said that that's what it was. And most of the serious investigations have discounted the Jupiter explanation as well. But what Jimmy Carter has never said definitively is that he thought it was an extraterrestrial craft. He's basically said, look, it was very interesting, and I don't know what it was. And so that gives him the kind of the out, as it were. The other interesting thing about Carter, though, is that when he was running for the White House in 1976, he was the first presidential candidate ever openly to say, yes, I'm a UFO witness. He was very open about it. And furthermore, when people started to press him as a candidate, and he said, look, if I'm elected president, yes, I will release UFO files as long as it doesn't affect national security, but I will do it. And so a lot of people at that time believed that Jimmy Carter would be the so-called disclosure president. They weren't using the phrase disclosure at the time, but that's really what they were thinking. And there is a very interesting story. I've written about it, and other people have written about it. Lee Spiegel, who was on earlier, knows this very well, too, of the first year of Carter's presidency, when there is really a behind-the-scenes struggle over whether or not UFO data would come out. And the answer was it was not coming out.
And it wasn't just Carter. You know, you had Gerald Ford. You know, you had Ronald Reagan and plenty of presidential witnesses and presidential spouses.
Reagan was had a spectacular sighting, which we learned about years later. I mean, a really amazing sighting. And again, I wrote about this and elsewhere it's been described. And Ronald Reagan was really into UFOs big time. Gerald Ford, of course, talked about the UFO phenomenon as a congressman in 1966. It was a very big issue for his constituents. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they get to office, and it seems like they're spoken to, Richard. Something stops them dead in their tracks, and it's not of interest ever again, even after they leave office. Let's go to Wild Card 1. Jeff, right here in Southern California in Culver City. Jeff, welcome to Coast AM.
Yeah, hi, Jimmy and Mr. Dolan. Yeah, I purchased many books on the UFO phenomena, and that's just a portion of my paranormal literary collection. But when it comes to UFOs, I'm most interested in the humongous size of these crafts, the multiple shapes of what, you know, seem to be transport vehicles similar to what would be considered a technologically advanced Noah's Ark, and its various functions, especially those blindingly bright white lights or blue lights which emanate from these crafts, which elevate, dematerialize, duplicate, immobilize, etc. My question is, Mr. Dolan, do you believe that these various spacecrafts are in the possession of our government and are being hidden or camouflaged in the vast 4,500 square mile region of Area 51 near Rachel, Nevada? And I bring this question up primarily because of the ongoing financial dispute between the owners of Groom Lake Mine in Groom Lake, Nevada, which is in Area 51 territory, and the U.S. government. So I'd like to get your input on that, and I'll take your answer off the air.
Thank you, Jeff.
Jeff, what a fabulous question. So well-informed and exactly right on point. The phenomenon of the huge UFOs, this is a subset of the greater UFO problem phenomenon, is that every now and then you get reports of these gargantuan-sized objects. I described one of them earlier in this show, Jimmy, when we were talking about a 1978 case off the coast of Chile. Mm-hmm. But they come up every now and then. They're enormous, and there's just nothing to correspond with in terms of our own human technology that we know of. I'm trying to remember every point that Jeff asked. Basically, he wanted to know if we were making these, if the human technology was responsible for these, and is that part of the controversy going on in at the edge of Area 51, which is a very interesting news story by itself. I don't know if that's the case. I have written and speculated about an idea which I call a breakaway civilization many times. I do believe that in the deeply clandestine, the black budget world, that there is a radically advanced technology that is kept away from our official civilization, the open civilization that we have here. And that that culture has gotten radically advanced scientific secrets and probably technological breakthroughs that could allow them to have what we would consider to be flying saucer technology. The real question is, are they making these enormous objects? And that I've never gotten any kind of informant, any kind of hint that we're making those things. I've gotten hints that we're making the black triangles. Quite a few of those have come my way. But these really, really big ones, these massive battleships in the sky, I've never gotten an indication from any source that makes me think that that's the case. So it's an unknown to me.
Let's go
great,
to...
Great question.
It's a totally fantastic question. Let's go east of the Rockies, Les, in Asheville, North Carolina. Les, welcome to Coast AM.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. Mr. Dolan, if disclosure doesn't come from the U.S., and I know you kind of already answered this question, can and will it come from another nation, and who will that nation be? And I will take my answer off the air. Thank you, gentlemen, very much. You're both great tonight.
Right on, Les.
Thank you, Les. My best guess, if it's not a U.S., my feeling is there is the preferred plan of disclosure. This secret is a powerful secret, and I believe that those people in possession of it understand that it really cannot be kept forever. So the question is, how does it come out? My feeling is what they would like to do is to consolidate what they're already doing, which is bit by bit creating a global surveillance state, a global police state, a transnational state in which nations really don't matter anymore. And when they've got a total 24/7 mind job over you and everyone else, when you're kind of in the matrix, so to speak, then when they know they have control of the spin, they will disclose what they feel they need to. I think that's the probable plan. Now, there are all kinds of possibilities for that plan to go awry, and disclosure could happen prematurely. If another nation were to do it, the best guess for me would be Russia, and that is because they are the most significant power nation that is truly in opposition to the U.S.-dominated sphere. I don't see any other nation under U.S. control doing it. I don't see Britain doing it. I don't see Israel doing it. I don't see Germany doing it. Any of those other nations, not Australia, none. None of them are going to break ranks with the United States, but Russia could. China secondarily, maybe in the future as China's military becomes even more powerful than it is now. It's already powerful. Maybe China, but if it were to happen in the next decade, I would guess probably Russia, if not the U.S.
The coast-to-coast audience is strong, Richard, strong. Let's go to...
Great question.
Absolutely. Wild card. Lisa in San Francisco, California. Lisa, welcome to Coast AM. What's on your mind?
Hi, Jimmy. Hi, Richard. Thank you very much. A great show this evening. I just wanted to ask Richard, what do you think that the ufology community should focus on at this time? What should be the priorities?
Another great question. I felt for a while that we're really at a point where we should be having much better international collaboration and sharing of data. Groups like MUFON, which they're having their symposium this weekend, and I wish them all the best. And incidentally, the folks at Hangar One, I'm giving them a little shout out since I'm part of that club. But they're doing the work. They're doing important work to collect and analyze data. And it seems to me some people think this is so mundane. Why do we need to collect more reports? I feel it's very important on a global scale, not simply in the United States, but around the world, so that we can have a true sense of what is actually happening around the world. And only then can we have a true opportunity to analyze and assess this data in a rational way, so that we can really see patterns emerging around the world. So I think that's important, international collaboration, citizen-based. You know, we've got Google Translate. We really should be able to do better than we do right now at this. I also think that we need more people doing truly deep political analyses of the UFO cover-up. I say this is the kind of work that I'm interested in, but I do it because I feel it's important, and I think more people need to be doing it. That is to really try analyzing the structure of power in this world, the structure of UFO secrecy, and trying to make progress on how that all fits together.
Thank you for the call, Lisa. Let's go to wild card Teresa, Washington, D.C. Teresa, welcome to Coast AM. What's on your mind for Richard?
Hi, guys. Great show. I had two points I wanted to make.
My first point is about disinformation agents. I sort of have a personal formula that I use to kind of vet people. There are a few things I look at. One is, does this person seem to have means that is unending? You know, are they traveling around the world all the time? You know, do they have a lot of money and no real job? You know, they're a UFO investigator with, you know, just endless money. That's a red light for me, or a red flag rather. My other point was about disclosure. I think we really need to redefine what we mean when we talk about disclosure, because I think everybody wants the president behind the White House podium who says, who makes a statement. And I don't think we're ever going to see that, but I think we're seeing disclosure all around us. I mean, look at Ancient Aliens. You know, look at all of the shows. Hangar One.
Teresa, we got to cut you off. We'll have Richard answer right now because we're up against a break. Yeah. Thank you for the call, Teresa.
Excellent question. I really loved what you had to say, and I agree in terms of the disinformation. We've got to look very carefully at these people. And yes, and if they obviously have a lot of means, and we've got to look at that carefully. In terms of disclosure, I agree with her also. I think that disclosure is something that the people will be pushing, and we want that presidential acknowledgement because we want to believe in our system of government, but that system of government is eroding farther and farther away from us.
Richard, thank you so much. I'll tell everybody tomorrow at MUFON you said hello. Thank you so much, Richard. Richard Dolan, everybody. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We'll-